الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بالخلق الحسن أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء الكرام, beloved brothers and elders, amongst the orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in many parts of the Holy Quran, Allah ta'ala used the word taqwa. O you who believe, fear Allah, adopt taqwa. Ayat I recited, حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, like it ought to be, fear Allah like he ought to be feared. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. This verse of the Holy Quran, twice the word اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ has come. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wall of evil. Practice self-restraint. Different meanings are given to the word taqwa. Taqwa actually means to save oneself, to bring about a barrier between oneself and between the disobedience of Allah. That is taqwa. That we stay away from all forms of sin and we carry out the dictates of iman. All the good actions we carry out and all the evil actions we save ourselves from. And over again this is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And there are great rewards. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي زِلَالٍ وَعُيُونَ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. Different rewards are mentioned for taqwa. And taqwa is, like Rasulullah SAW, one hadith mentioned, pointed towards the heart, that taqwa hauna. Taqwa stems from the heart. If the heart's got the fear of Allah, heart's got the love of Allah, then it becomes easy for all the other parts to follow. But if there's no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart is void of taqwa, then we can put 100 barriers between man and between sin. It's still sin. Why? The heart does not have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa actually means to save oneself at the whole, or to put a barrier between ourselves and guna and sin. Now there's two types of sin. One is the person unintentionally falls into sin. That is the actual sin. Unintentionally commits an error. And one is there are schemes, plots, and ploys of sin that are mentioned. Programs of sin are made. And that is what is happening today. One is, very good example, one of the great alim in India given in the 70s. He said one is, a person is holding the finger of his mother and is walking. And it's raining, it's muddy, and it's raining, and he slips. When he slips, what happens? The love of the mother comes into action. Picks up the child, she cleans the child from the sand and dust. He got to say, kisses the child, changes the clothes of the child. Why? Because the child slipped and fell. And one is, the child is deliberately walking in such a manner that he slips and falls. What happens then? The mother who loves the child, what happens to the mother? Mother picks up the child, slaps the child. You can see there's mud here, and deliberately walking there, you want to fall, soil your clothes, etc. So similar is our example. Person falls into sin because of the environment, what's happening today nowadays, festive season. Festive season, according to the other nation, means wholesale sin. Whichever sin you can think of, zina, music, intermingling, extravagance, whatever sin you can think of, it's been perpetrated in the name of freedom and holiday and festive season. And unfortunately, we forget that we are Muslims. We are Muslims every day of our lives. We are Muslims in every place that we go. We are Muslims under all circumstances. All the time we are Muslims. Our duty reminds us of one incident that had taken place where one great alim was traveling in the plane. So they came and offered him something to drink, some alcoholic drinks. So he told them, no, I'm not allowed to take this. So they said, why don't you give the captain? He said, no, the captain is on duty. Captain is on duty. He cannot partake of these alcoholic things. So that person told him, We are Muslims, we are on duty 24/7. Wherever we are on duty. Otherwise, we are Muslims wherever we are. We may be up in the air, we may be bottom in a submarine, we may be traveling in some other country, we may be at home, maybe the festive season, maybe a normal season, maybe holidays, maybe normal days. We are Muslims at all times. And because we are Muslims, we have to abide by the law of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no such thing as on duty and off duty, etc. for us. We are on duty 24/7. 365 days of the year, we are on duty. And we are Muslims all the time. And this is what the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْسُ مَا كُنْتُ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you may be. On holiday, at home, in the marketplace, in the bazaars, with your wife, with your children. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, save yourself from sin wherever you may be. And we are within the constraints of time. Like we are in the constraint of place, we have to be in some place or the other. We can't be omnipresent, we can't be everywhere. That's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sifat. So like we have to fear Allah ta'ala wherever we are, similarly we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every point in time. In any and every point in time, we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means it can be a holiday, Sunday, a Saturday, whatever day it is, we must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and save ourselves from sin. And save ourselves from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse that I recited, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih, O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like he ought to be feared. What is the meaning of like he ought to be feared? Some ayahs you find, ittaqullaha mastata'atum. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance to your capacity and capability. And we should remember, whatever orders of the Shariat Allah ta'ala has given us, it is within our capacities. Within our capabilities to carry out. La yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah ta'ala will never obligate us with such commands except that which is within our power and within our means. Like people say, no, can't constrain, I can't restrict my gaze. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that you should restrict your gaze. Put your gaze down. Uddu min absarihim. Turn your gaze away. Don't look towards ghair mahram, etc. Some people say, well, no, I can't do it. Just can't do it, you know. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was a PhD or a specialist in this field. He used to say, imagine there's a lion that's standing next to you, about to attack you, pounce on you. You see the lion from far, you know what happens. The lion is right next to you. And beauty, that lady that came out first in the beauty contest of the world, number one, Miss World, first, most beautiful woman standing in front of you. And this lion wants to pounce on you. So to say, the lion is telling you, carry on, look, and see what I do to you. Will you have the audacity, the guts, the courage to look? You won't. Why? Afraid of the lion. So you're not afraid of the creator of the lion. You're not afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not afraid of the power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. This is the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were people in India, when Umar was telling us about, he used to read a lot of this, people that should go hunting their stories. He said there were people, you should attack the tigers, etc. there, with their bare hands. They should have a dagger and go and attack. How? Tiger is thinking, is to come. The same tiger had killed my father to come. While the tiger is thinking, this would tap it at the back. And it turns around, had a dagger. To stab at the same time. No guns, nothing. So these are animals. What power they have? When you have the taqwa and the power of iman, then animal is nothing. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he clouted the lion that was in the way, came and clouted the lion. That you are stopping the way of the believers here. Move out of the way. Can you imagine? Clouting a lion. Our Shaykh had mentioned about the Abu Hassan Qarsani, he was riding on a lion. Lion was like to ride on a donkey and a horse and a camel. He was riding on a lion. And in his hand was a snake. He was using it as a whip to whip the lion. So these are the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much we are afraid of the makhluk of the lion, not afraid of the khaliq. Or he says there's a person there that is standing with a gun and is facing you. And that's his daughter telling you, look at her. Glance at her. If you glance at her, I'll pull a trigger. When you glance, you're afraid. You're afraid of makhluk, but you're not afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we lose the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then to fall into sin becomes absolutely easy. Easy for a person to commit a sin. And when the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, then the person can practice self-restraint. He can practice taqwa. He can save himself. He can save his evil glances. He can save himself from doing anything that is wrong. Why? Because the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And this is what is sifat-i ihsani. No matter where you are conscious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I am doing, and He's conscious. So many incidents we hear of, the person is in the jungle, person goes to you and tells him, you know, give me some milk from this animal, or give me this animal. He says, no, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the owner. He says, where is the owner? The owner is not here. Give it to me, I'll give you something, you benefit, I benefit. He said, no, where is Allah? Ain Allah. Allah is here. The owner is not here, but the owner, our real owner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. Now he's conscious right there deep in the jungle, conscious of Allah. We sometimes come into the house of Allah and we're not conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, that woman, that lady, her mother is asking her to add some water in the milk. She says, no, can't do that. It's not possible. It's not permissible. As Umar radiallahu anhu stopped us. She said, no, Umar is not here to see you. Umar is not here, but what about the Lord of Umar? What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He can see us. So this is what restrains the mu'min. This is what restrains the mu'min. There's no power on the earth like taqwa. And a person has taqwa, then he says, he restrains himself. There's no police force. That one person was caught, and he was caught and he was held for murder, and he asked for restraint. He says, give me a chance, I will go and I will come back. I will go and I will come back. So he said, what guarantees he will come back? No, I'll come back. Because he had the fear of Allah. They released him, he went, and he came back. No police force, nothing. That woman committed zina, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I committed a sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his mubarak face away, this side, again that side, again this side, and he told her to go, give birth to the child and come. Gave birth to the child and came. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, you are still breastfeeding the child, finish breastfeeding the child and then come. No police force, no cells there, there's nobody that's keeping her there. It is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brings that lady back on a time when a small child is eating a piece of bread. To show Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that now I'm not breastfeeding him. Now, O Prophet of Allah, inflict the punishment of Allah upon me. And she gives her life. She gives her life. I think it was on the same occasion where some people spoke some harsh words against her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned them, reprimanded them, that this woman has made such a tawbah, that if that tawbah is distributed between the people of Medina, all of them, it will suffice. Imagine the taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala she had, prepared to give her life in this dunya and be free of the sin. And there's nothing holding her, no police force. So there's no such thing, there's no power like the power of taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see it in the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say, O Prophet of Allah, this is the crime, this is the guna I've done. Inflict the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. There's no ducking and diving and saving, no. Why? They got yakin on the akhirah. Tomorrow we will have to pass away, stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will have to answer. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullah haqqa tuqatih. O you who believe, fear Allah like how you ought to be feared. And what is the tashri' and explanation of how we ought to be feared? There's three things mentioned here. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is, أَيُّطَاعَ وَلَا يُعْصَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be obeyed and he should not be disobeyed. Where, when, what place? Everywhere. اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not disobey him. Everywhere. Whether you're in the masjid, whether you're in the playground, whether you're at home, whether you're in the marketplace, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wala yu'sa, don't be disobedient to Allah. Not in the masjid, not at home, not in the marketplace, not in the family, not anywhere. Be obedient to Allah, don't be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayyuta'a wala yu'sa. Wa yushkar wala yukfar. And you should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where, when, at all times. At all times. If you look at the people of the dunya, if you look at those below us, we will never become ungrateful. And if you look at the people above us, we'll always be ungrateful. Look at the people above us. I've got a car, this man's got a Mercedes Benz. I got a Mercedes Benz, this man's got a Jaguar. I got a Jaguar, he's got a Porsche. Look at the people above you. Always remain ungrateful to Allah for the ni'mat Allah that has given us. That is why, as far as the deen is concerned, look at the people above us. I come for Fajr, this man sits in Ishraq. I read one para, he reads two paras. I perform Zohar, he comes, reads Chas Namaz. After Zohar, I sit down, quickly go away, he sits and makes it out of one para of the Quran. Look at people above us, so we'll try and vie with them. We'll try and be like them, and try and better ourselves. And in the dunya, look at the people below us. People below us. Famous incident, person came and parked, and he saw a helicopter going past. SubhanAllah, oh, I wish I was in that helicopter, I wouldn't have to wait here, the robots, etc. Person behind him had a normal car, and looked at his car, oh look at this, mashallah, 4x4. I can go anywhere with this, if I look at an ordinary car. This person is driving a nice car, but he's looking at somebody above him in the dunya, in the helicopter, is belittling this ni'mat Allah has given him. The person is behind him, has a nice comfortable car, looks at the 4x4, etc. and says, hey, I wish I had this Land Rover, etc. And he's belittling that ni'mat that he has in. That person that's sitting in that car, the person behind him is on a motorbike. Looks at the car and says, mashallah, look at him, he's got a nice car. Only I had a car. I only got a motorbike. Person behind him has got a bicycle. Looks at him and says, hey, I wish I had a motorbike. I could have moved. I just got a bicycle. Person behind him is on a wheelbarrow. Moving on a wheelbarrow. He looks at him and says, I wish I had a bicycle. Person behind him is looking at somebody who's in the ambulance. It's going, he broke his legs. So he says, I wish that person in the ambulance says, I wish I was like this person. So if you look at the people above you, you will always be ungrateful, no matter what your position is. But if you look at the people below you, if that person looks at the person below him, the helicopter looks at the person in the car, Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has taken me in the helicopter, I am flying. Person in the 4x4 sitting there, he looks at the back, says, Alhamdulillah, I got a 4x4. I'm okay. Person in the car, Alhamdulillah. Person behind me has got a motorbike. I've got a car. And like that, as you go in reverse gear, you'll find each one is better than the other. And each one is contented with his lot. Each one is contented with his lot. So today what has happened? We are looking at the Joneses. We are looking at those people that are much better off than us. And we're belittling the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so much scenarios around us, the spectacle around us in the dunya in this point in time is that some people can't get up in the morning, and when they get up in the morning, the house is bombed. Some people haven't got good health. Some people haven't got the food of the day. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are great ni'mats, these three, very, very great ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get up in the morning, aminan fi salbihi. Person who gets up in the morning, and he's completely in peace and safety and security, as far as he is concerned, his health is concerned, his family is concerned, his property is concerned, this is one ni'mat. Great ni'mat of Allah. Why? There are some people that don't have that safety. Like I mentioned, they wake up in the morning, the house is bombed. Two of the children have passed away. The parents have passed away. We know what is happening in what part of the world. No time to elaborate. Everybody knows what's happening. Second thing that is mentioned in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mu'afan fi jasadihi. The man is completely sound in his body. Now we don't even know what our body comprises of. How many neurons have we got in the brain? Maybe the students can tell us how many neurons we got in the brain. Millions. Some say 200, some say even more. How many taste buds we got on our tongue? Thousands. How many things we got, how many cells we got in our eyes? Rod cells and cone cells. Millions. Thousands. Not millions, thousands. The blood that we have, what it comprises of? Platelets and everything else. By the thousands. Similarly, all the other organs of the body, what they comprise of, we don't even know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so unique. All this from a drop of sperm. From a drop of sperm is created this body. Now we have over, I think, 3 trillion cells in the body. And when we wake up in the morning, all of them are functioning. All of them are working. Our liver is working, our heart is working, our spleen is working, our kidneys are working, our nerves are working. And the tendons are working, the muscles are working, the bones are working, everything is working in our body. Mu'afan fi jasadihi, no problems. One old general had that long time ago, there were 30,000 sicknesses. Old, very old, I think from the 70s. Today there may be much more. Even if I got one or two sicknesses, and we assume there's only 30,000, that means Allah Ta'ala has saved me from 29,998 sicknesses because I got two. And that is the old journal. So how much shukr must we make to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that we are sound in our body? And you hear of people, somebody can't walk, somebody can't talk, somebody can't eat. Difficulties, hardships, somebody can't breathe. There's a person that I went to visit the other day, he's got those oxygen tubes here in his nose. And he says, I have to go around with this machine everywhere I go. We got oxygen morning, evening, in the masjid, after the masjid, outside, at our homes, free of charge. No charge whatsoever. One person we went to meet once in Marisburg, said, I have to carry this tank. And I can't go for more than, I think, 4 hours or so. I'm waiting for another tank to come, then I can at least go out for 6 hours. We are out for 8 hours, 10 hours, 60 hours. No problem. We're breathing in and breathing out. Once we met one person in the hospital, he says, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives me three things. I was thinking, what three things he must be asking for? Something very unique it must be, you know? Something very extraordinary. He pointed towards his nose that I walk, at least I think he said 10 meters or 100 meters without this pipe. That I can walk 10 or 100 meters without this pipe. Make dua Allah ta'ala gives me that. Second thing, he says, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can make my own istinja. Put it, make his own istinja. And imagine how embarrassing now somebody has to make his istinja. And the third thing, says, make dua to Allah Ta'ala, then I can have a bath. I don't have the strength to have a bath on my own. Make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now, did we ever think that these are great ni'mats of Allah Pak? Bathing on my own, cleansing myself on my own, I'm walking, and without oxygen on my own, for so many meters, and for so many days, and for so many years now, I'm walking. So there's a second ni'mat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. And the third name that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi mentions, وَعِنْدُهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ. That person that wakes up in the morning is sound in himself, his wife, his children, his property, and he's sound in his body, otherwise he's got good health. And the third thing is, إِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ. He has the food for the day. He has the provisions for the day. Not for the week, not for the month, not for the year. Some of us got for years provisions, if you look at the bank balance. If you look at the storerooms, what do we have? If you open the cupboards and see what we have, amount of food, etc. in the homes. No, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَعِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ. He only has the food for the day. If he has, whoever has these three ni'mats, فَقَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَزَافِيرِهَا. It is as if the entire dunya has been gathered and given to him. Why? Because any one of these three ni'mats are missing, life becomes difficult. Person's got no safety and security. You can't go out of your house. You can't come to the masjid. You can't go to work. You can't visit your family. You can't go and earn your living. You can't go to the shop, etc. Why? No safety and security. One ni'mat. You got safety and security, but you got no health. Person's got no health. The person got no health, nothing looks good for him. Not interested in food, not interested in children, not interested in his wife. Why? He does not have the health. Health, that's why they say health is hazar ni'mat. Thousands of ni'mat. Just one ni'mat health, hazar ni'mat. And the entire body is functioning properly. Something is wrong somewhere. And today the types of sicknesses we have, strange, strange sicknesses. Person can't eat. One person told me the other day that the person had a sickness, I don't think anyone you can imagine, of not being tolerant of having clothes upon him. It was like a sickness. He didn't want to have any clothes upon him. Can you imagine? Did you ever hear of it? First time I heard in my life that there's a person like that. He says, I couldn't. That person doesn't tolerate any clothing upon him. He stays lives in a state of nakedness. That's like a sickness with him. One person we had met once, he said, I couldn't sleep for one whole year. For one whole year I couldn't sleep. And it was like a phobia. I couldn't go to the masjid. When I see crowds, I should stay at home. And I was not concerned about my personal hygiene, cutting my hair, having a bath, cleansing myself. Now, alhamdulillah, I made ilaj. There were some Jewish doctors that came, made my ilaj, now I can fall asleep. I should go and sleep at night and just watch the clock going mad. Every night. Just see the hours clicking and just see the hours going mad. Now I'm going to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at least I can sleep now. We go every night to sleep and wake up in the morning. We realize that what a great ni'mat is this. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. Allah Ta'ala mentions this also in the Quran, that we have made Your sleep a means of rest and peace for you. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. I've made the night such a time that you can get sukoon and chain. The sleep that you can get at night, you can never get in the day. And Allah Ta'ala has made it light, there's a covering. And the qudrat of Allah will see, but you don't reflect. I was asking my friends if one day when we were coming back 2 or 3 days from the hospital, friend, did you ever realize there's one light that goes off and thousands of globes come up, but they're nowhere near that light. One light goes away and thousands of globes come, but they are nowhere near that light. And what is that light? The sun. Every day that light comes, and when it comes, the whole world is illuminated. It goes into every corner and every nook, etc. Doesn't charge anything, gives us the heat. Yeah? Ask us now, kidney is not working, go sit in the sun. You want vitamin D, go sit in the sun. Otherwise you take, there's one tablet that comes for vitamin D. If you get the vitamin D, your kidneys also help you with the vitamin D. And the sun also gives you vitamin D. And the sun gives you heat as well. And the sun, now you see the solar heating, etc. People are taking the heat from the sun, using it to warm the water, etc. So that one light goes off, thousands of bulbs come on, but they're nowhere near that light. And thousands of, millions of bulbs come up, nowhere near that light. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when these three ni'mat are given to us, it is as if the entire dunya is given to us. And we don't even realize that these are great ni'mat of Allah. How many of us have realized or thanked Allah? Oh Allah, you have given us sound health, alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, you have given us safety and security. Oh Allah, you have saved us. You have given us the provisions of the day. If you didn't have this first ni'mat, as I mentioned, safety and security, you can't move around in the earth. If you didn't have the second ni'mat, as I say, you haven't got health, you don't like anything. Nothing looks good for you. To go somewhere, no, I'm not feeling well. With the wife, the children, the food is presented to you, I can't consume this food because I'm not healthy. And the third ni'mat is what? Is that you have the food for the day. If you have good health, if you have safety and no food for the day, then what do? You become restless. Person is hungry, fasting sometimes, you look at a person, what happened? Why? He said, no, I'm fasting. That's staying away for food for a temporary moment. You got all the delicacies waiting for you there, at home, etc. Just a few hours. And this, you don't know where your next meal is coming from. How much shukr we make to Allah Ta'ala that He has provided for us. And especially here in this country, different types of foods. When you sit down, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, also the person should look at his food. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ أَنَّا سَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ سَبَّا ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبًّا وَعِنَبًا وَقَطْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala mentions here in details that you should sit and reflect and ponder over your food. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the skies and sent the rains. Now when there's no rains in some part of the country, you find people making du'as for rain. People telling you, here it's completely dry, etc. Who sends on the rain? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَرَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ تَشْرَبُونَ أَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala asks us also this. Water that comes out of the skies, do you send it down or we bring it down? And if you wish, we could have made it bitter. Could have made it bitter and salty that you would not be able to consume it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends it down. It's rain that comes. And how He sends it down also. We don't even reflect on the qudrat of Allah. I think it was when Ubaydullah was mentioning one place that for every drop that comes, Allah Ta'ala sends a farishta. That this drop has to be here in a particular spot. And the farishta comes and puts it there. You look up at the clouds, how huge the clouds are. When it's raining, when you predict rain, etc., you find huge clouds moving. But when the water comes from the clouds, how does it come? If that entire cloud has to burst and come down, you won't survive. Why? It's so huge. Drops come down. Rain drops are coming down. Sometimes you find that hail comes down, etc. Otherwise, normally when the rain comes down, one person asked a nice question. He said, did you see any surf between the sky and between the earth, that the water comes there, forms into drops and falls down? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His qudrat and power, brings it down in droplets, comes down to us in small, small drops and falls onto the earth. How Allah Ta'ala opened up the skies. ثُمَّ شَخَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. Then we have opened up the earth, that it goes inside. And all the seeds that are planted therein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it grow. And from those seeds sprouts out all this different vegetation. all the vegetation that we eat, the different forms of vegetation we eat, vegetable, fruit, etc., comes from where? From the ground. Ground comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it in the ground. It's not from the ground. Why? You dig up the ground, you won't find the fruit there. You won't find the sweetness of the mango there in the ground. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates it. It's not the ground. Allah ta'ala uses the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا. Allah ta'ala says, we made it grow. Habba, wa'inaba, wa'qatba, different things I mentioned. The grains and grapes, and the olives and all the different things. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. As a means of benefit for you and for your animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us. And different vegetation. We cannot pay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that vegetation, for that mango that you're going to go home and eat, that lychee that you're going to enjoy, that watermelon that you're going to enjoy. Where this watermelon seed was planted? Many of you must have witnessed it. I didn't see it. I only saw it, I think, as recent as 2 or 3 years old. 2 or 3 years ago, when we went to Nilestrum area, the watermelons growing on the land, on the earth. Big watermelons growing on the earth. And seeds are planted there, and they are watered. Thereafter they grow, and they become big and huge. And thereafter they are transported to the centers, different centers. Johannesburg, that people said, here it goes from Johannesburg it's sent to Durban, etc. Then it comes to your wholesaler, then it comes to the retailer, then it comes to the person down the road, then we go there and pay how much? 50 rand, 100 cent. Now imagine for all that effort behind that watermelon, planting the seed, watering it for so long, making it grow, etc. We cannot put a price to it. This is just handling charges. We're giving the man 50 rand. Otherwise, all that effort that had gone into that watermelon or to that mango, etc., behind it, we cannot pay. It is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's making it done. We don't even say, Alhamdulillah, we have watermelon in our area. We pay the handling charges and we feel we paid the man too much. We gave him 50 rand. But if you sit back and think of one fruit, one vegetable, where it was planted, how it grew, how it came here, it's mind-boggling. Not to go into the details, how the tractors had gone, how the farmers had worked, how they had packed it and planted it, perfected it, and sent it to the centers, and then it was auctioned and sold here, and then we bought it. No. We forget even to say Alhamdulillah when we're eating it. That is the real price of that fruit or that vegetable, that we acknowledge the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say Alhamdulillah. We even forget to say Alhamdulillah. Yet we cannot pay the price. And when one that becomes extinct in the marketplace, prices shoot up. Handling charges go up also. And we can't get the item. You're ordering from somewhere else. People are looking for mangoes now near Matuba Tuba, and near Juzini, etc. Far away, you're going to look for mangoes, etc. Why? Because it's not available. Person came yesterday from the Verdam area, Simona. All the farmers are complaining. There's hardly any leeches on the trees. The winds came and blew all the leeches away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't wish, despite having all the trees, no produce. No mangoes in that area. This year the crop is very bad. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished it to be like that, it's going to be like that. And if our muamla with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right and correct, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us food like how He gave to Maryam alayhi salam. أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Where did you get this fruit? No season. You got this fruit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to the means that we see around us, to the weather conditions, etc. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can produce with means, without means, against means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq. The real Khaliq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are just means, outer means. Allah ta'ala wishes He uses them. Allah ta'ala wishes He doesn't use them. You can have all the outer means. But as I said, this person told me yesterday, my student came to me a little bit of leeches and said, Mano, all the farmers are complaining, there's no leeches. The winds came and blew the leeches away. Gone. Allah Ta'ala didn't wish. Sometimes the monkeys come, it's in the rosy of the monkeys and not in our rosy. They come and eat it up and it's gone. So we should be grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the ni'mas that we get. And such a simple principle Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has taught us. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Those that know the Arabic language, you look like students. I don't know if you're a student. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. What is this lam for? شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Lam. What is the lam for? أَزِيدَنَّكُمْ لِنُون. What's it for? Taqeed. Emphasis. That if you are grateful, we will definitely increase your ni'mat. If you are grateful. And how do we be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First way to be grateful is with the heart. Some riwayat will find qalbun shakirun. You need a heart that is grateful to Allah Ta'ala. And you see it, especially in the elderly folk. There are two people that were very outstanding in this quality that I had noticed. One was an elderly person, and he had in fact lost his memory. He had lost his memory and he was in the Spingo area. When you go and visit him, how are you feeling, Chacha? Shukar alhamdulillah. When he says that shukar alhamdulillah, you will actually sense he's saying it not from the tongue, saying it from the heart. And there was another person overseas. He also lost his memory. Ask him, how are you feeling? Shukar alhamdulillah. And our elderly folk, it was customary for them to use this word. Shukar alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah means shukar, in all praise to Allah. Shukar alhamdulillah. From the heart, they used to say it. Qalbun shakirun. And lisanun shakirun also you get, where a person says, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Alhamdulillah. How's things? Alhamdulillah. How's business? Alhamdulillah. How are you feeling? Alhamdulillah. This is shukr from the heart. Shukr from the heart, then shukr from the tongue. Then shukr with the a'za, with the parts of the body. Every part is used in according to Allah's plan. We use our eyes where Allah has asked us to look. We look at the Qibla, Kaabatullah. We look at our wives. We look at our parents. We look at our children with love. We look at the Holy Quran. We look at the Zamzam water. All this is forms of ibadat. And we get sabab for each one of them. So we use our eyes where we're supposed to use our eyes. We use our hands where we're supposed to use our hands. We use our wealth where we're supposed to use our wealth. We use our time where we're supposed to use our time. That is the real shukr that we are making. With the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we use them in the appropriate places. And our Shaykh always used to quote this verse, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That real shukr is to adopt taqwa. Save yourself from sin and carry out good work. This is real shukr. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, fear Allah so that you can be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Huzur Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also showed us, Huzur Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to spend long nights in ibadat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was told to him, O Prophet of Allah, you are ma'soom. All your sins have been forgiven. Here sins also, the real meaning of sins is not meant here. Some say, what it means, the sins of the ummah. Some say, what sins mean, that the person, Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made some judgmental error in some judgment. Some say, ijtihadi healthy. Some say, some actions that were not appropriate or carried out by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are termed as sins. Otherwise, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is free from sins. He had no sins, and his sins are forgiven. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمْ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرْ. So, O Prophet of Allah, why are you exerting yourself so much? Standing so long in tahajjud, etc., that your Mubarak feet are getting swollen. What did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So should we not be grateful? If you want the ni'mat to remain with us, then be grateful to Allah. Mention each ni'mat, say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. There was one great sheikh, he should mention, that when we get a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. If you cannot say it at that point in time, we left home and came to the masjid, we reached here safely, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We got a parking place, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We entered into the masjid, we were safe and sound. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We sat down and we made it for our takbir ula. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We completed the namaz and we made salam. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We sat down and completed our nawafil and our other sunnah namazes. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We got a tawfiq to read tasbih. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We got the tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We got the tawfiq to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We came out from here, we were guided and we walked. We didn't lose our memories. We didn't lose our shoes. We didn't lose our car. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. That's why it is mentioned, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to enumerate and count the ni'mas of Allah, you will not be able to do so. Why? We don't know what are the ni'mas of Allah. And the real value of the ni'mas come قدر النعمة بعد الزوال. When the ni'mat is gone, then you realize that this was the ni'mat. When you can't walk straight and you got vertigo and you hold the asa to walk, then you realize, subhanallah, to walk straight all my life was a ni'mat. I never said, alhamdulillah, oh Allah, I can walk straight. I got no vertigo, I'm not going from the left to the right. Your kidneys were working, you had no problem, forgot to say alhamdulillah. When I go to the toilet, all the phosphate comes out, all the potassium comes out. I don't have to take medicine for that. all my electrolytes are working because my kidneys are working. I forget. I don't say Alhamdulillah. Then you lose all that, then you realize, Subhanallah. So many things are happening now because a small Mr. Kidney says, I'm not going to work. I'm taking off now. I'm on holiday. When he's on holiday, then you start working. Get all your electrolytes right in your body, your iron, your calcium, etc. with the medication. Get all the potassium out of your body. Get all the phosphate out of your body. Words that you never heard in our life. Why? Kidneys are doing the job. So we should sit down and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one wuzur is to mention that if you can't do it in the course of the day, like I mentioned, step by step, then when you go to sleep, think to yourself, I got up this morning, alhamdulillah, everything was sound in my house, in my body, in my property. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Thereafter I went to the masjid, alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Each ni'mat, count each ni'mat from the morning right up to the evening and say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. At least you'll be verbally thanking Allah Ta'ala for your ni'mat. And there are some so comprehensive du'as. You just read those du'as. It's mentioned, if you have fulfilled the rights of thanksgiving to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik faminka wahdaka la sharika lak falaka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Oh Allah, whatever ni'mat you have given me, ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik, in the morning. Faminka wahdaka la sharika lak. Then this ni'mat is only from you. فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ only from you. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ You have no partner. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ Whoever reads it three times in the morning, he has fulfilled the thanks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat of the morning. In the evening he reads this dua, اللهم ما أمسى بي من نعمة أو بأحد من خلقك فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ He has expressed his thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilled the right of thanks for that ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say with it also comes that there will be no jealousy and hatred. This person is given a big, greater ni'mat than me, whether it is ibadat, whether it is in wealth, whether it is in looks, whether it is in health. Then it is not from him, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, whatever ni'mat I enjoy, or any one of the creation, or ahadim min khalqik, faminka wahdak. This ni'mat is only from you. The beauty you have given him, the piety you have given him, the wealth you have given him, is only from him. Only from you and not from himself. So, oh Allah, I acknowledge that you have given him more than me. You give me as well. I don't need to have hatred for him or jealousy for him or envy him. Why? Because the giver is not this person. The giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like he has given him, can give me as well. Today this has killed us, the love between us. This person is from where? He's from India. He only came 2 years ago. He's owning a big factory. He's driving a beautiful car. I am working for the last 20 years. I'm born in South Africa. Born in South Africa or born in India has nothing to do with our rosy. Inna Allah huwa al-Razzaq. Allah yabsut al-rizqa liman yasha wa yaqdir. He expands the rosy for whomsoever he wishes it and he contracts it for whomsoever he wishes it. Some people can't sign their names. They're multimillionaires. And some people are qualified people. They're walking on the streets. Why? They don't have any rosy from the side of Allah. So we must tap Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's door. And we must wish for our Muslim brothers what we wish for ourselves. وَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ wish for humanity what we wish for ourselves. We wish for ourselves conditions of prosperity, good health, good wealth. Similarly, we want a wife, good wives and good children, good homes, etc. We should have the same wish for our Muslim brothers. And Rasulullah ﷺ tells us that you are not a perfect mu'min. لَا يُؤْمِنْ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِي We cannot have perfect iman, complete iman, till we do not like for our Muslim brothers what we like for ourselves. What we like for ourselves, we should have the same wish for my Muslim brother. And when you see him having it, you should become happy. This is a sign of true love for a Muslim brother. Alhamdulillah, look at the ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given him. It's like, I'm enjoying the ni'mat. Muslim brothers got ni'mat. That's why I say over here, when you're sitting for a wedding ceremony, you should be happy and smiling for the sake of your Muslim brother. To share in his happiness is the right of a Muslim. To share in the sadness is the right of a Muslim. Somebody passed away, somebody's mother passed away, brother passed away, sister passed away. We should be saddened by that. Why? Because this man has suffered a loss and he's my Muslim brother. So I must share in his grief. I must share in his grief. If I cannot try, at least I must be sitting sad. That is why this occasion of sadness and grief, you're sitting and laughing and joking there, is against the etiquette and against the spirit of a mu'min. He must share in the grief of his Muslim brother. Occasion of happiness, he must be happy, he mustn't be sitting in grief. Muslim brother is getting married or whatever the occasion may be, we must share in that happiness. Today, as I say, because of, I don't know, social media or what, our minds are so occupied that we're not even prepared to smile. We're not even prepared to smile in a happy occasion. And here in this masjid, as I mentioned previously, there was one person getting married. He was sitting so glum, and, you know, and he was so sad, so to say. So I told the bride, nikah to her, qabil to her, smile. So he thought it's part of the deal of getting married to say smile. So he told me smile. Didn't even realize that he needs to smile. We have to tell him the occasion of happiness, you're getting married, then smile. That also has left us. Rasulullah and Sahabi says, that I did not see anyone smiling more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has the responsibility of the entire humanity. وَمَا سَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ. We have not sent you except for the entire human race. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ever smiling. Ever smiling. Today, when we know the brother, we may smile from 1 mile. And if you don't know the brother, he may be right next to me, but I won't smile with him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ تَلِكَ. Do not belittle any good deed, even if it is meeting your Muslim brother with a smiling face, smiling countenance. When you meet your Muslim brother with a smiling face, then this is also a neki. This is also an act of kindness and goodness. Today what happens? If I start smiling at this brother, what will he do? What will he do? You know what he'll do? He'll look back. But maybe Maulana is not smiling with me, he's smiling with the person behind me. Because I don't know the Maulana, why is he smiling? People get suspicious, why is this man smiling? When you see your Muslim brother, you are supposed to be smiling with him. This is supposed to be normal, but that has become abnormal now. That you can't smile with a stranger. Smile with a stranger, you become suspicious. Looking in the back, maybe he's smiling with the man behind me, not me. Why? So strange it has become. Our Shaykh Rahmat mentioned this, Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's great sunnah is to smile. And if you mention now, at least take this one sunnah when you go home. When you enter the house, start smiling. And you know what will happen? What will happen? Everybody knows what will happen. Very happy today? What's the problem? Smiling today? Why? Because the smile is not there normally. Today you are smiling, what happened? You came into the house and you are smiling. Why are you smiling? You're supposed to be smiling all the time. So what is normal has become abnormal. And because it's so abnormal, the wife wants to know why you are smiling. You're supposed to be smiling all the time when you enter into the house. And by entering into the house with a smile, what happens? MashaAllah, the smile is what? Opens the heart of the next person. There may be a storm that's coming for you. A storm or tsunami coming to you. And you enter into the house with a broad smile. It blew the whole tsunami away. Tsunami won't come to you. It won't affect you. You'll save yourself from the tsunami. And it opens the heart. And it's so effective. You know, the smile is so effective. You don't think. There's a small baby and a small child. You go to that small child, the child can't speak. Look at the child and smile. You will see the effect of the smile on that child. The child, maybe his eyes will start beaming or shining, and he'll also try and smile. Will be cheerful. That means he's also affected with the smile. And this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the easy sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it leads to muhabbat between the hearts. You meet a person and you smile with him. You don't know him, and you smile with him. He gets even more happy. Imagine, this man doesn't know me, and he's smiling with me. Why? And you tell him, because you're my Muslim brother, I'm smiling with you. How happy he becomes. The brothers that are not from here, from Malawi, etc., when you greet them, some of them, they tell you, Jazakallah. Why? Because people don't greet them. One person is coming in our masjid here, one alim from the Jamia told me he was a reader, and he used to read namaz to show you how far we are from the basics. He read namaz in Hilal for 1 year. Nobody made salam to him. Nobody made salam to him. And what may be the pretext? We don't know the brother. We don't have to know the brother. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that we are Muslims, we are brothers of each other. Allah ta'ala tells us we are brothers of each other. And we say we don't know the brother. وَيُسَلِّمُ عَلِيْهِ إِذَا لَقِيَهُ. This is the right of a Muslim. When you see him, you greet him. Not because you know him, but because he's a Muslim. So these are basic things that will plant the seeds of love and muhabbat within our hearts. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show us how effective this salam is. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it previously. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to this effect: you will not enter into paradise till you do not believe, and you will not believe till you do not have mutual love for each other. You will not enter into paradise hatta tu'minu. Wala tu'minu hatta tahabu. And you will not have perfect and complete iman till you do not have mutual love between each other. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, shall I not show you something? If you carry it out, tahabbtum. Shall I show you something? If you practice it and practice upon it, it will bring about this mutual love amongst you. Afshu salama baynakum. Spread the salam amongst you. And you see it. Greet the person with assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh every day. You don't know his name also. Love will be engendered because of the barakah of the salam between you and him. You don't know his name, you don't know where he comes from, you don't know who he is, but you made salam when you met him. Because of the barakah of the salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, muhabbat will be created. And when muhabbat is created, then your iman will be perfected. And when iman is perfected, will enter into paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal on taqwa, to save ourselves from sin. Especially in this environment of sin that we are in, to save ourselves. Our mashayikh tell us, if the wind is blowing outside, or if there's a storm outside, what happens? Every person that comes out of the masjid, runs to his car, has his umbrella, or the wind is blowing, then he puts something over him, he closes his eyes, the sand mustn't get into his eyes. Why? Because the winds are blowing outside, and the sands are there. So the winds of zina, the winds of haram, the winds of music, the winds of extravagance, all of that is found outside, especially in the festive season. So we should not be in those places where the winds of guna are blowing. We should close our eyes and go away from there. We should run away from those places and go to the areas of piety, righteousness, where goodness is, where good people are, and save ourselves from sin. We can't be in the place where it's raining and say we won't get wet. Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. Person that increases the number of any nation, those people that are evildoers, we go there, we say, no, we're just going to observe, we're just going to see. Man hamiya hawla al-hima yushiku an yuqa'a fih. A person that goes around and he's around that pasture which is prohibited for him, then soon he will fall into that pasture. Those areas that are prohibited for us, we must be far away. We must be far away from those people. From the hududullah, we must be far away. Far away from sin and from the asbab of sin. From the causes of sin, we must be far away. And our elders knew this very well. Our elders knew this very well. There is a lion that's running outside from the game reserve, for example, that's reached here into Crescent Street. What will happen? Nobody will venture to go outside. It's not outside the masjid, but perhaps when you go outside, you may become a victim of that animal that's out there. The danger is there, somewhere there. So stay far and clear from there. Don't go and swim in the sea if you're not a swimmer. Why? You may drown. So in the house, as long as you're in the house, you won't drown. So the elders were very cautious about these things. Where they sin and where the causes of sin, they should keep their families and should keep us far away. No, don't venture to go that place, this place. Why? Because we may fall into sin. We may fall into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should also bring up our children in these days, especially in this festive season, in such a manner that they stay far away from sin, far away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was so pleasing to note yesterday so many of our students were going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please, they'll be in the house of Allah, safe from those vices, dens of vices. They will be reading the five daily salat. They will be sitting, even if they are sleeping in the bayan, they are sitting in the bayan in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming down. So these, should be grateful to Allah that we have these occasions that we can send our children out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and into the mehfil and the majlis of ulama-i kiram, where the barakat and rahmat of Allah ta'ala is coming down. Every second area has a jalsa today. What's happening? Bukhari Sharif has been completed. What's happening? The Qur'an-i Pak has been completed. So many people are becoming hafiz. Thousands of angels come there to that gathering to say ameen to the du'as. And our du'as, if we are there, we got a good opportunity to be there and make du'a with them. And also make du'a for all those activities of deen that are taking place in any part of the globe. So we become part and parcel of that activity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.